I am Daniel White the Third, and you're listening to The Man in the Mirror, episode number 90. This podcast was born out of the Ferguson, Missouri riots. This podcast is directed to all young people, but primarily to young black men, young black women, and their parents. We are thankful for all of the people who are standing up for justice and racial equality. But this podcast is about the man in the mirror. This podcast is about you. What are you doing for the glory of God? We're not here today to talk about the white man, but you. Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing to make life better for others, for your family, and for yourself? This podcast is about living life in such a way that it cuts back on the chance of being harassed or killed by the authorities or anyone else, and helps you to live the good life of peace and joy. Psalm 119:9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" And this includes a young woman, by the way. "By taking heed thereto according to thy word." And even old people, even though they are harder and more stiff-necked and more hard-headed, if they take heed to God's word, they can even be cleansed. And that's a fact. Dr. Jim Rohn said, "You must take personal responsibility." How about that? You cannot change the circumstances. You cannot change the seasons. You're not God. You cannot change the wind, but you can change yourself. You want a reformation. You want a transformation. You want a new life. Choose to change yourself. Take responsibility of changing yourself. No more lying on other people. No more trying to accuse others because of your failures. No more pointing the finger. No more spending days envious of other people who did the doggone thing that nobody wanted to do, including you. No more being envious of them. No more being jealous of them. No more trying to hinder them from going on because you didn't go on. Take responsibility for yourself. Stop looking to somebody else to do it for you. Stop watching television all day long, looking at other people do stuff while you are envious and jealous. Get off of social media. Stop following every doggone person. I hate to get like this with you, but it's just disgusting how people waste their lives following other people while other people are doing something. And you're doing nothing to improve your life or the life of the people around you. Focus on yourself. Stop blaming your husband. Stop blaming your wife. Stop blaming your children. Stop blaming your parents. And get busy and get the job done. Cut the foolishness out. I added to what Jim Rohn said, but you get the drift. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you going to do for others? When was the last time you thought about doing something for somebody else? Have you ever thought about that? Sad to say, there are many Christians who never think about doing something for somebody else. They don't even pray for somebody else. They only pray for themselves. Therefore, and no more. And Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? If you want to be like Christ, you got to be about others. I had the privilege of preaching in a summer camp so many years ago back in the woods of Georgia. I have never forgotten the name of that camp. The name of that camp is Camp Joy. And I found out why they called it Camp Joy. Because Camp Joy is all about Jesus, number one, the O in the middle, others, number two, and then number three, you. And by the way, that's a simple little deal there, but I'm here to tell you, if you don't do life that way, you're going to live a miserable life. If you live your life with Jesus first, others second, yourself last, I'm here to tell you, God will give you way more than you ever could dream or imagine. And I'm a living witness of that. I shall never forget Camp Joy. Most people are wrapped up in themselves. And Michael Jordan, the great basketball player, said a person who's wrapped up in themselves is a very small package. It's got to be about Jesus. It's got to be about God. It's got to be about others. And then you. You can enjoy many things in life if you live your life that way. Young man and young woman, old man and old woman. And I don't care if you like it or not, if you're past 50, you're old. Okay, so in case you're wondering who I'm calling old, if you're past 50, you are old. And if you're past 40, you're getting on up there. If you're past 30, you better watch out. Because if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing by 30, then I feel sorry for you. Joseph was 30 years old when he became the prime minister of Egypt. David was 30 years old when he became king. The Israelite priests, they had to be 30 years old before they could become a priest. John the Baptist was 30 years old when he started his ministry. Jesus Christ was 30 years old when he started his public ministry. So there's something to say about being 30 years old. You should be ready by that point to do great things. And you better get to it, because whatever you're going to do, young man and young woman, is going to happen real fast. If you miss it, you're going to miss it for good. And that time will not come back around. But I'm talking to everybody. Take heed to the word of God. Beloved, in keeping with our theme of dealing with the man or the woman in the mirror, we are going to continue discussing the building of important biblical character traits by the grace of God and with the help of God and with Jesus in mind and in our hearts and with the power of the Holy Spirit. Today, beloved, we're looking at the quality of truthfulness, part two, from the Institute and Basic Life Principles. Now, the man who put together Basic Life Principles, the great big red book that so many thousands are familiar with, he was not a perfect man, and he didn't always apply the basic life principles to his life, but they still work. Don't worry about that. You say, well, who is that, and what happened? And you don't need to know about all that. Forget about that. You just focus on this book right here. And if you do it, it'll change your life, because it's based upon the Word of God. Truth leads us in the right way. Psalm 43:3 says, O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Truth equips us to worship God. John 4:23-24 says, But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Truth cleanses us of iniquity. Proverbs 16:6 says, By mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. Nothing like a good dose of the fear of the Lord to keep people, God's people, away from evil. In fact, I'm convinced if you don't have a healthy fear of the Lord, you will probably not depart from evil. You'll continue in it foolishly. Lust and addictions hold many in bondage. This bondage comes from a spirit of uncleanness. My. The first step of purging is crying out to God for mercy and grace. Amen. Psalm 50:15 says, And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Now, God did not say where the trouble came from, but I can just tell you some areas where the trouble will come from. The trouble will come from the devil. The trouble will come from your own sinful flesh. Trouble will come from the sinful flesh of your family members and friends and even church members. You will have trouble. You will have tribulation, Jesus Christ said. That's a fact. And quite frankly, some of us, many of us, will have trouble all the time, because we're so evil and we're so wicked, or we are a threat to Satan, or a combination of the two. The second step is to confess and repent. 1 John 1:9 says, If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The third step is to fill our hearts with God's truth and meditate on it day and night. Psalm 119:9-11 says, Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Glory be to God. We may also need to acknowledge the iniquities of our forefathers. See Daniel 9:16, regain surrendered ground. See Ephesians 4:27, and engage in serious fasting and prayer. See Isaiah 58:6. Truth preserves leaders. Proverbs 20:28 says, mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy. It is significant that the throne is not established by truth and justice only, but by truth and mercy. When people violate truth, it is natural to be harsh. But loyalty is built when a leader teaches truth and demonstrates the fruit of the Spirit. Therefore, we are instructed to speak the truth in love. Personal evaluation. How truthful are you? Do you ask others to point out faults of which you may be unaware? Are you practicing the sin of a lack of self-awareness, which I believe is a sin, and it's rooted in pride, because you think that your stuff does not stink, and it does, and that you're not you're above everybody else to the point that you don't have to watch yourself, and that's a very false and foolish way to go in life. You need to be self-aware about how you really are and what you really are, and tell the truth about it and stop lying. One of the most beautiful things in life that God can give us the ability to do, and that is to be transparent, like the transparent glass floor up in heaven, which is made out of gold. There's nothing more beautiful, I do not believe, than a person being transparent and honest. The other day, I don't know what happened to Ben Simmons. I don't think he knows what happened to himself. I will say, that is of the Philadelphia 76ers. I have no clue. The man is getting paid like $146 million, and you can't do a layup. I don't know what happened. I hope to God that nobody paid him off. Where you in 3 or 4 games can't score a point in the fourth quarter when we need you the most. I'm not an analyst. But one thing that I do appreciate about him, and I did after the game, I appreciate the fact that he was transparent. He said the right things. He said, I messed up. I let my people down, my team down. I need to get into the gym and do better, practice harder, and become a better basketball player. I said, all right, then I'll go ahead on. I still don't know what happened to you, but I can take that. Just tell the truth. Be honest and shame the devil. Be transparent. It's a killer. Being honest and being transparent will kill some mess. It'll make people speechless. They can't come back at you because you already told them the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help you God. And the ball is in their court. So Ben just put the ball right back into the reporter's court by just being honest. And just said, I messed up bad. I let my team down. I deserve what I get, and so forth and so on. I hope he still feels the same way when the team says, you know what, we need to take half of your money back because you're not producing. But, you know, I don't know. How truthful are you? Do you ask others to point out faults of which you may be unaware? And this leads to also, how humble are you? See, when I was a young Christian, I wanted to be the best Christian that God wanted me to be. And God blessed me to surround myself with older Christians. And I would ask them questions. If you were me at this age, what would you do? Are there some blind spots that you see in me that you need to tell me about? Tell the truth. Be transparent. Millions of marriages could have been saved if somebody was just humble and truthful and transparent. And I thank God that God made me humble at those in those early years of ministry to ask my older brethren in the ministry as some things about what I should do and not do. I didn't know what being humble was. I was not trying to be humble. I just think it's smart to do. We need to get around older people and pick their brains and then let them guide you to skip over the potholes and the mistakes that they made. And I did that, and God saved me years of time by doing so, and I thank the Lord for that. Do you confront your faults with Holy Scripture, or do you run from the Scriptures? Do you believe that you have no serious faults and think you are better than you are, or worse, you think you are better than other people? And do you exaggerate your achievements to others? Do you lie or tell only part of the truth to escape the consequences of your actions? Are you willing to tell the truth about the bad parts of your life, including your marriage, to be a help in a ministry and a minister to others? Do you flatter people to gain their approval? Do you misrepresent the Lord with inconsistent or negative attitudes? Do you have a bad attitude? Do you have that kind of a wicked spirit and attitude that as soon as somebody disagrees with you or somebody you're so proud, somebody tells you a better way to do something, you still go and do it the old way because you're bitter and resentful? Do you give damaging reports of others to make yourself look good? Do you guard against false teachings by confirming everything you hear with the truth of Holy Scripture? Now, gentlemen, think on these things. Sistren, think on these things. In closing, in order to be saved, in order to get right with God, you cannot look at the man in the mirror, but the man, Christ Jesus. So do that now and become or get saved by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ for your soul's salvation. At 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ I pray that you save those who are lost, who are listening right now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, beloved, in closing, in order to be saved, in order to get right with God, you cannot look at the man in the mirror. Rather, you must look at the man Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Do you know him? If you do not yet know him as your Lord and Savior, trust him as your Savior today. Here is how. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin, a punishment for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell because of sin and because you have never accepted the payment for sin, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. For Jesus Christ himself said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, dear friend, this is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live eternally with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul and to change your life, and he will do it. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, or Romans 10:9-13, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, your heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Until next time, my beloved, may God bless you and keep you, is my prayer.